You're listening to Curiosity Invited with David Bryan here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is David Bryan, and this is Curiosity Invited, a podcast inspired by endless curiosity. Tune in for an open-minded conversation about interesting and important things. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Curiosity Invited. My name is David Bryan, and today I have the pleasure, great pleasure, in fact, of speaking with someone who I have I have known for many years, although we haven't seen each other in, well, we saw each other a couple of weeks ago, but we haven't seen each other in, I don't know how many years, many. And we worked together at a school, which perhaps we'll hear a little bit about because of its connection with what she is doing now. And the person you're looking at on the screen, that's not me, is Marcy Gilbert. And that's a beautiful color blue, and that's the logo for Calibrate. Yes.
Calibrate.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's what we're here to talk about. We can talk about all sorts of things, but you are the executive director of this organization based in Los Angeles, an organization named Calibrate. And so why is it called Calibrate?
Oh, that's a great question. I was going for something that was about leveling the playing field, and I had 50 different names, and all of them were taken because it was something I wanted to register as a mark. And Calibrate was at the very bottom, and I ran it by a couple of people. I wanted to see kind of how it flew with each of them. And when I got to the bottom of the list and said, "What do you think about Calibrate?" Both of them were like, "Oh, amazing." And
how does the notion of calibrating inform what you do, or vice versa?
Right. Well, so one of the things that we're in the process of registering is connect to calibrate. We were part of starting this school, New Roads. And New Roads had as its foundational social emotional learning program, Connections, mm-hmm. which is the program that Calibrate does.
Of you 30 years ago.
That's cute.
My name is Charletta Johnson. I had the wonderful opportunity to be the director of New Roads La Cienega, and then from there I went on to start Community Harvest Charter School, and I am a co-founder of Calibrate. Connections is absolutely a must. It is foundational if you are going to have a good school with a positive culture where students feel safe and they thrive. We created a safe space for them where they could just be young people to grow and create and thrive. Voila.
My name is Jomel from LA. You know, Los Angeles, California, IA. My first year I sat in Connections was seventh grade. Over time, I was like, I'm gonna share my piece because I listened to them. So I got to know them. I'm like, okay, well, y'all can get to know me too, type of thing. And then over time, it just helped develop our relationship. It like helped us bring us together though. It helped me be more outspoken, and it helped me like basically trust people I don't know. Just being able to unite, like, you know, like we could all come together. Even though we all come from different walks of life, different parts of LA, you know, we still have things that we both have in common. But over time, you know, we just kept building relationships. And that's the most important thing you can do with a kid is, you know, relationship. That's how they see, like, growth and stuff is with time. So the more time you put in with a kid, that's what they cherish, is your time.
I'm Kim. I am born and raised in LA. I sat in Connections for the very first time in seventh grade, so middle school, very young. I think initially, I mean, it was something new, so it was definitely something that was foreign to me. I would say I was definitely a lot more open to, I think, difficult topics and being a little bit more open to talking about them. I started listening and being present, I would say, at See Harvard work because it was, one, a safe space, but people also looked like me. So it really felt like I could relate to whoever was facilitating and the people who were participating in Connection.
Hi, my name is Daisy and I'm 9 years old. What I like about Connections is that you can hear other people's stories. You can like share something about yourself and like whatever stays in there is like only in there. You can't tell nobody else. We try to like tell people my business, but then like when other people start doing it, it made me want to do it. I have to treat myself first before other people.
If you really believe in that fight for justice, you understand that the fight for justice never ends. It goes on from one generation to the next. And so it is the obligation of every generation to prepare the next generation. And one of the most fulfilling things that I've done in life is prepare the next person to follow me and what I was doing.
And okay, but why is the, when we'll talk about what Connections is. But why is that about calibrating? What am I missing?
I think part of it is having the experience of sitting in the circle. So when you're in a Connections, you're sitting in a circle where a facilitator is holding space for you and the group. It's a chance to let down all your bullshit and bring your highest self forward, your authentic self forward, if you choose. I'd say the number one gift of Connections is, if you have good facilitators, it is a safe space. Mm-hmm. So it is a safe space to be your authentic self.
Can I stop you for just one second and just say, are you using a microphone? So after a little bit of a sound glitch, We are back. And you were explaining what?
Yes. So connect to calibrate. So you're invited to sit in this circle of people where there's nothing in front of you. And you have a facilitator who is very good at what they do, which is holding a safe space. And people are invited and welcome as they choose to bring their authentic selves. And in bringing your authentic self to a space and having a space to be, because most of us are just on go all the time, you get a chance to reflect. You get a chance to bring awareness to yourself. You get a chance to let go of stress. Perhaps even heal. A lot of people find it very therapeutic. So it's kind of getting yourself recalibrated by sitting in that process of
Getting yourself recalibrated. That's good. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Connect to calibrate actually is good because calibrate, the whole program could be called calibration. So
yes.
That's great.
Yes.
That's great. All right. So you just said connect with, so this, as you described it, this sounds a lot like a bad version or a simple version of group therapy, right? Everybody's going to be their authentic self in the room and it's not that.
It is not.
It overlaps in some way, right? No?
No.
Tell me.
No. Therapy, and I'm saying this as an educational therapist, Therapy is really trying to poke at someone to get them to explore their feelings. And when we were first trained 30 years ago, I remember the person who trained us saying feelings are the F word. And it's because with connections, we're not trying to elicit or lead people to have a specific experience.
Right.
The prompts are neutral and they're inviting you to tell a story. Tell a time about when you felt, or you don't even use felt. Tell us about a time when you accomplished something. And you can talk about the time when you got your engine to start on your car, or you could talk about graduating from college or starting your own company. I mean, you can talk about whatever you want. You talk within your comfort level. So it's not about pushing you to stretch. You stretch yourself. You're in control.
And do a lot of people, well, so do a lot of people when you ask them to, when you give them a prompt, do a lot of people in that context defer is the wrong word, but defer to their feelings? Do they head toward their feelings?
No, not saying them. I'm mad, I'm sad. Not saying them, though you will see a people emote from time to time. Mm-hmm. And what's very interesting, having done this now for 30 years, is that people will tell the story that they need to tell. And it doesn't matter what the prompt is, whatever they're going through that day, that week, that month, that year, they're going to pull out a story that they need to pull out to have their own healing or processing. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so I don't know if you said this or if it's in the text of the website, which I'll make sure I put in the description, et cetera, et cetera. Hey. But I think you may have referred to social emotional exploration or social emotional learning. And so is this something that's done with kids? Is that the primary, does Calibrate primarily do that? Work with young people doing this?
So there's two parts to it. Good. One part is the youth, and we work with K through college. The other part of it is, I was actually watching one of our Calibrate videos this morning, and at the end of it, Mayor Bass, who I know is a friend of yours and was on the board of our school when we started it, at the Young Women's March, we had brought a group of our youth to come and participate. And she said, if you really believe in the fight for social justice, you understand it's a long game and that part of your job is to prepare the next generation. And I get chills every time I think about it, because that is the other half of Calibrate. So we train people. We train people and we pay them to go and reinvest in their communities. So
to be facilitators in this process.
They could be facilitators, but they can also help with administrative aspects of Calibrate.
Right.
So, yes. Right.
Does Calibrate take it to other groups that that might have adults in it?
Yes. Yeah, so one of the things that we would love to do, if we are welcome to do so, is actually help people fortify their organizational culture. So then if it's a nonprofit where there's mentors for the youth, can we sit in connections with the mentors? Can we sit in connections with your executive team? How about the families? You know, could we invite parents? So we've had bilingual connections, meaning, you know, Spanish, English. We've had where the youth are sitting with their parents. We've had it where it's just the parents or family members. So, yes. So it's really more when we stretch to the adult community, typically it's because we want to build this net around the kit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. One thing you haven't said that is, it feels like it's important to say, is primarily, or perhaps not primarily, exclusively, Calibrate works with, brings this program, this skill, and to people of color, people who are less resourced than, so
100%.
So why?
I'm the outlier.
You're it.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm sure I'll get shit because it's like, wait, you're talking to the one white person in this whole organization?
Well, but it's a conundrum because yeah. I am the executive director. So,
why the choice to do that? Why the choice to work specifically with people of color? Or is it people of color or is it primarily black?
People of color in general, because of the changing demographics of Los Angeles, people of African descent, yeah. American slavery descent specifically, because that is the population in the United States, along with indigenous, who are the most screwed. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, and this is our alumni. So, and okay, these so are the alumni from the South Los Angeles campus of New Roads, who then went on to be part of Community Harvest Charter School. And who really saw that this program worked. Mm-hmm. So they're really the engine behind this. And honestly, my role, I'm the only person on the team who works full time right now until we build capacity. And I do have the privilege and ability to do that. So, but whenever possible, I'm putting our team in front of people and mentoring them to be able to take this over.
Hmm. Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't know what order this all makes sense in, but why does this matter? Like, you know, we're living in an odd time, right? Because if 10 years ago, certainly 20 years ago, but maybe as recently as 10 years ago, maybe five, you know, you say a social emotional learning and self-esteem and people would be nodding their head just like that and saying, yeah, that's really important. And you know, fast forward, certainly in the last 10 years, social emotional learning is now, you know, along with other things that progressive people sort of thought was now embedded in the culture. Now it's, you know, I mean, we don't want any of that stuff in our schools. We don't, you know, Florida outlaws it, gets it out of the public schools. We don't want that in our school. So it's an odd time. And I guess what I would say is, you know, first of all, how do you respond to that piece? But also, why are you so sure? Why is Calibrates, not you, but why is the organization so sure that it is important, especially in communities of color where, you know, if you listed like, what's the biggest problem? A lot of people would say, well, you know, there's not enough money, right? There's discrimination, there's mm-hmm. substandard housing, there's like all the stuff. So why does it matter that this is something that needs to be brought to this community?
Okay. First of all, I look forward to the day when I get to sit with somebody who is politically different from me, who sees SEL as a demonized thing, to be able to unpack it really and be from a place of love and education to understand that when you go to church and you have faith in God and you pray, you are cultivating your SEL skills.
SEL means social emotional learning.
Social emotional learning.
Clear. Right. Yeah.
So there's a part of it which just makes me sad is there's a lack of education truly about what this term means, which is essentially at its very highest altitude. The skills that help us be good people, the skills that help us be successful professionally, help us be successful personally, help us have good relationships. And I don't care if you get that from a teacher in your school or your priest or your pastor or your rabbi.
Or your math teacher.
Or your math
right,
teacher.
Exactly.
So I think part of it is that there's just a real misunderstanding about really in general, what are we talking about? And so I would say, invite people to say, what were the safe spaces for you psychologically growing up Was there a mentor? Was there a human? Was there a summer camp you attended? Was there a church service you attended? Where in that safe space, you had your you had your like feeling of like knowing yourself, loving yourself, caring about yourself, learning how to care about yourself. Where was that in your life? So now, how did that affect you to be a good human? How did that affect you to be like able to deal with people in a workplace and listen effectively and communicate effectively? All that humanity. And if you're growing up in neighborhoods that are not safe, I mean, there are kids in Watts who we work with who are walking to school from the housing projects and meeting all kinds of people on their way to school, dealing with all kinds of psychological stuff to be able to navigate safely to get to school. And when they leave school, they walk back into a housing project where they literally are locking themselves behind a door with bars and windows with bars. They're not getting to go run out into the yard and play with their toys. So those children who are constantly under that psychological duress, where are they going to learn how to chill out, explore themselves, value themselves? Because those are the things that allow us to launch in life. If you don't see a future for yourself because you're seeing just lots of trauma around you or poverty, not feeling like society values you, when you're in the connection circle, you are getting to experience a sense of belonging, a sense of community connectedness, and a sense that you matter and your voice matters. And those are the things that help you to goal set, which is another social emotional skill. Those are the things that allow you to have motivation and perseverance, which are social emotional skills. So we had the Los Angeles Rams Foundation, there was a meeting we had with them, and they said to us, okay, but you open the kids up and then what? And so one of our alumni made this beautiful video, which I can't wait till we launch it on YouTube, because I showed it to you, David. It's the one where we have the alumni in their little yearbook picture, and then you see what they're doing now. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And there's people working in computers and science and teachers and, you know, psychologists. I mean, they're the whole gamut of professionalism. And 95% of those students went on to get a college degree as compared to 17% of their same peers. Mm-hmm. But what made it possible for them to do that? To know that people believed in them, to know that they had a community and family and a foundation and that they mattered. And they could go and explore themselves and figure out what they wanted to be when they grew up.
So I want to ask a question that is, I'm anticipating, is running through the mind of people who would not value a program like you're speaking of, but is that a stereotype that people who look like us, you know, white people, carry about the Black community? Or is that the Black community? Or is that the Black community that Calibrate serves, right? I mean, obviously you have evidence, the kids who've gone through the program who are no longer kids, you know, so they value it. They have valued it and they see the need. Who else thinks that other than people like us or people who went through a school where that was offered? And, you know, white kids like that program. I mean, I'm talking from experience, right? You know, white kids like that program, Latino kids like that program. Black kids like that. Everybody liked that program. It was a great feeling to be in that. And but where else? Who else says this is important? Is there evidence that the communities of color, when they hear, feel, see this, they say more, more, more. Give us more. Yeah, we want that. We want that. And And I guess I guess also, I know I'm asking a lot, but you're a smart person, so I know you can. It's an odd thing that at the time, is there evidence that this is valuable for all of those reasons that you just said? Is there data?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Talk about all that.
Okay. So,
Talk about all that.
So long before Calibrate was ever a twinkle in anybody's eye, I was in a master's program for educational therapy. And I got to the point where, okay, now you're supposed to spend a year researching something and doing some sort of intervention and documenting it. And, you know, so I'm asking my professor, like, what? Oh, so like a kid with a reading disability, and you're going to sit with them and you're going to do something to help them decode, and for a year. And then that was the moment when I realized, oh my God, I think I chose the wrong master's degree, because that sounds really boring to me. And then at that time, I got an invitation. We're having our 10-year reunion of graduating high school, and we're going to sit in Connections together. And I was blown away. Like, you're not going to have a party bus. You're going to go and sit in Connections together. Yeah. So then I went to my professor and I said, can I do something with this? And so then we sat and talked about it, and she said it, and then she helped frame it for me, social emotional learning. So in the journey of the year, I needed to, in order to write the thesis, I needed to research any like programs that existed across the country, specifically for people of color. Specifically, I was looking at teenagers. I also conducted surveys with alumni, anonymous surveys with alumni. So there actually is a ton of data out there. I would like to throw two things out. As an educational therapist, we know that when a child comes into your office, and whatever you're going to work with them on, maybe they have ADHD, they're on the spectrum, they have dyslexia, whatever you're going to work with them on, you are not going to be able to do anything if that child walks in the room in distress. And any good educator knows that when a child walks into your classroom and they're going through something, they are not going to be able to receive the Pythagorean theorem that day. And remember it. And that is a true biological fact about the brain, that when the brain is under any kind of stress or duress or emotional stress, we are not going to encode properly into memory. We are not going to be optimally there for learning. This is part of the reason why, well, just one of many, that there is real deficits academically in under-resourced neighborhoods. It's one of many reasons why. And there is a ton of data on the fact that social emotional learning is a greater determinant of success than GPA. And there is also a ton of data on the fact that social emotional learning provides the opportunity for students to raise their grades. So there are other problems that we solve with that.
Wait, now, say that last piece again.
Social emotional learning
provides opportunities
for people to raise their grades.
What does that mean?
You have to calibrate the brain. You have to prime the brain in order to receive knowledge, in order to remember the knowledge that you're receiving. It's essential. Social emotional learning provides that foundation.
I see.
Now that's part of what I feel like you were kind of trying to get at. Another part of what you were trying to get at is, okay, so this, one of our facilitators, John, he has this great quote I use in a lot of our materials. Because he says, like, look, I went to a school where there was no counselors on campus. And I'm dealing with this peer group of people where we all have to be really cool with each other.
Oh, yeah.
And where's the opportunity for you to figure out who the heck you really are and what your values really are? And he said, and when you're somebody who's growing up poor, what society is telling you is that what you should be valuing is extrinsic things. Cars and getting a house and buying yourself a pair of Nikes, right? So where are you actually learning about the intrinsic when you're in those kinds of situations? Then you layer on another part of this, which is, you know, collectivistic cultures. and where it's really meaningful to people because of how people grew up in their families and in their communities, to be very community driven and community centered, and connections really allows for that. So
yeah. It's such an extraordinarily odd thing. I mean, folks had a hunch for years that this was important, that this sort of thing that now is called social emotional learning was important. And there was no data. And now, when I know there is a ton of data sort of linking this aspects of social emotional learning to success in all those ways that are measurable and desired. And so now there's a ton of data, and it's the boogeyman, right? I mean, now it's like, well, we don't really want this, you know, like what? Now that there's
evidence, we don't want anything that is going to empower people of color. We don't want anything that is going to empower LGBTQIA communities. That's what we want. What we want is to shut those voices down.
Well, I understand that. And but they don't want it in white communities either. They really just don't want it. I mean,
they want to control it, and they want to call it something else, like faith.
Like faith.
But it's the same thing.
I'm going to ask you really understand. I'm going to cut this out of the, well, I may not, who knows? I'm going to
I don't
cut
know.
This out of the interview. But are you a person of faith? Like, do you?
I am.
You are.
I am.
Yeah.
I pray every morning,
really?
First thing when I wake up, and I pray every night as the last thing before I go to bed.
Wow. I never knew that about you. Or maybe that wasn't a feature of who you were when I knew you, but.
I think it was. I just, it's not something that I ever really get invited to talk about. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a big deal to me. I mean, I didn't start Calibrate. Calibrate was basically, there's a term we use sometimes to Calibrate as a joke. We say voluntold. I was kind of voluntold to do Calibrate. Yeah. So, but I embrace it because to me, I am a social justice activist at the core of myself. And if former students are saying this works and this is important and we need to get this into the world, then there could be no greater service than to help, like as Mayor Bass said, prepare the next generation, whatever way I can. Mm-hmm. But I definitely take direction from the team.
Questions, but can you talk a little bit about the mechanics of the team? So you are a co-founder. There's at least one more, but are there more than, I mean, whatever that means, like, was this the brainchild of several people said, hey, let's, and how does it, so you had said before, you're the only full-time person in the program. And so how does this whole thing function? Like what? How did it get started and how does it work?
Okay, so there was the original three, which was Charlotta Johnson, who we call Ms. J, who you know personally because she was the principal of the South Los Angeles campus. So you and she were my mentors, along with Chris. There is a friend, his name's Richard Robinson, who grew up in South LA, and I met him through my husband. And that was the original three. It was Ms. J nudging me
to do
this. I would say I was doing a little like digging in with my heels, a little bit of pushing. Originally, I wanted it to be off the grid STEM skills, like teaching people how to grow food and get their houses off the grid and save money and learn sort of all sorts of cool stuff. And Ms. J said, there is no way that you're going to be able to do that unless people get grounded first. And you know that better than anyone as an educational therapist. And it was like, yeah, you're right. So she said the best tool I've ever seen in my entire career is connections. It really works. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, you know, then putting the bat signal out and we're in a quarantine And, you know, I mean, it was crazy, like the timing and the conflation. Yeah. I mean, Calibrate started programming in August 2019.
How convenient.
I know. And it's, but, you know, the pandemic made everybody realize how much isolation sucks and how much we really need community, social connection. And So
How it got started. And
okay. So then how it functions is because like,
well, and know, it is a, just to be clear, it's a 501c3 nonprofit. You welcome donations.
We would very much welcome donations. Yeah. Yes. And what's so nice is because yours truly is not taking a salary, pretty much all of your donation is literally going to paying people to do this. Right.
Go to program. Yeah.
Yes. And training, elevating our next generation. How we function is I'm trying to model our organizational culture after the spirit of connections, feeling like it's shared leadership model where we're all kind of holding up pieces together, holding this circle up together. What's beautiful about connections, if you're someone who's experienced, like I know you have, is you can have people come in and come out and the circle still kind of holds itself, like the space holds that space. So that's kind of my feeling with it is like, when we're all holding it together, then somebody falls ill or somebody has a death in the family and it's kind of, we can all kind of pick up. So we're all cultivating multiple skills to be able to keep ourselves afloat. Each of our locations, we have 20 locations right now.
What does that mean? You mean Calibrate is delivering connections? I don't mean it to sound like, you know, inoculations, but in 20 different locations.
Yeah.
Wow. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Across LA County. We actually touch every supervisorial district. Yes.
And most of these locations, all of these locations are schools or youth programs in one way or another?
Combination. Some are schools, some are other 501c3s that we partner with.
Yeah.
And what we do is we create that program location itself is its own circle. So there's one to two people who are in charge of what we call program coordination. So building the partnership with the community partner and the logistics and implementing that. We have always somebody who's there who's like a mentor or a trainer to help the facilitators problem solve. Facilitators meet every week. And then they also meet in their own facilitator connections. And so they start to build kind of their own little mini community there and their own sort of team unit. So, okay, Curiosity Invited.
Yeah.
I am curious about something about you.
Yeah. Well, wait, I want to make
sure. All right. Keep going.
I want to make sure that what needs to be said, because the last question
I appreciate that you're keeping track of it. Cause honestly, I'm just going on the roller coaster ride. I'm not really keeping track.
I get it. I just want to make sure that the important stuff, well, I don't know if it's important, but it seems like that to me. We don't leave it out.
Yeah. Thank you, David.
Kate Grant's taking another gig. So how can you afford to do what you do? I don't mean you personally, not taking a salary.
I'm open to that question too.
Did you win the lotto? No. How can the organization, where does it get its money? Because you said people great get question. Paid.
Mm, it's a great question. And actually, I think it is helpful to say what allows me to do this is the fact that my husband is a head of school and the school owns a house. So we do not have to pay a rent or a mortgage bill. And that is what allowed me to be able to do this. So I consider my husband like one of our biggest donors. Yeah. I mean, he is my partner truly. And like, and it's important to give him that love because it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot for him to do that. So, cultivating individual donors, human beings who get it and believe in us and think it's great. I have a couple really dear, actually a few really dear friends who really get it. Who've been very generous. But then of course there are tons of others. I mean, there are alumni, who are on a monthly with us. And even if it's small amounts, it really helps a lot, because they really get it and they believe in it. We've gotten grants from the city. We just got a grant from Holly Mitchell, the supervisor Holly Mitchell, this week. Private foundations. We're starting to build out corporate sponsorship. So the typical paths, typical avenues.
And it's been in existence since
August 2019.
And it's at 20 locations. And the other thing I want to say before you can, you know, get curious about me, whatever, is you got any plans for the future? I mean, like, do you have a, you know, and in three, I mean, I don't know how, I don't know if you do that, but, you know, and in 3 years, we're going to be in, whatever. Got that in the works, at least mentally?
Yeah, I mean, there's the boring stuff, like when you look at our invest book and you say, like, okay, well, the 3-year goal is that we're building out part-time salaries, and the 5-year goal is we're building out the full-time salaries, right? But there's that. But there's really neat projects that, like, kind of come along and start to shape us a little bit. Like, one of our alumni, Patrick Page II, he was in a very popular band called The Internet, and he's, you know, connections meant so much to him, and he would really love to create these workshops. So it's like you come and you're doing connections and you're maybe doing yoga and other things. I mean, that's one of the things we're going to be doing first week of March, is kind of fleshing that out with him. And he lives in Atlanta. And so, you know, he would like to start to see this be like a plug and play that we're bringing to other cities in the country. One of our alumni who's on the board, she works for IBM Quantum, which has a program for HBCUs, and we're going to have our
historically black colleges and universities.
Correct.
Wanted to make sure.
Correct. And so I guess it's the 50th anniversary of the STEM engineers are all meeting up in Atlanta in March. And so we're going to be doing connections with these undergraduate and graduate students.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah.
I know. So we are excited in very intentional ways to start bringing this to other cities.
Well, so if I knew what I was talking about, what would I ask? What would I have asked that feels like it's important to say? Like, what else do you need to say about this in case the electronics fail and this is the last we see or hear each other? What else needs to be said about Calibrate and what it's doing and why it matters?
Oh my goodness.
Not a trick question. Not a trick question.
Yeah, no pressure. I mean, something I didn't get to say is we've reached more than 3,000 people.
Yeah.
And part of that, I always put plus on the number, and that's because there's exponential impact when you train a good facilitator. So, like, one of our facilitators, Carlos, works at Cal State University Fullerton, and he works with first-generation college students. And the program that he does is having those first-gen college students go and work with first-gen high school students. Mm-hmm. And he created a connections program for them.
That's great.
So I'll get wind of stories like that. These are moments where I just wish I could just, like, you know, pull one of my alumni onto the screen and say, and now a word from T. Anthony.
I did see, I don't know where it was, but I did see a clip of some of the people speaking. One in particular, I forget his name.
Jomel, maybe?
He spoke about having sort of growing up, everybody had to be a warrior.
Shalon.
Yeah, it was great.
Shalon.
So wherever that clip was from, I want to use that.
Actually, that whole interview, at some point, we got to put it on YouTube because the whole thing is spectacular. He's such a good speaker. He's such a good communicator. Yeah.
So maybe there's things like that. So,
yeah.
Cool. That's great. Well, so it's going to sound like we're ending, but we're not. Marcy, thank you for being willing to come and speak about this. I feel like we barely scratched the surface. The richness of the experience, I know from personal experience, the richness of the experience is hard to communicate without being in the middle of it. And yet it's there. And I And I love, and I think it's super important to underline that, you know, the call to do this is coming from a community and not, you know, one of the things that was true about New Roads La Cienega is the call for that school. There was no call for that school. There was people from an ongoing, right? I mean, New Roads in Santa Monica was up and running, and we thought, oh, geez, there's a space there. Wouldn't it be great to bring it? And, you know, it was the fact that Charletta saw the richness of that experience, and then the call came from the community. Well, okay, well, we can't do it here, but let's do it, right? And that's a very different thing. And I think the thing, it's important, I think, that the call for this program that you're doing, for this organization and what it does, it's not Marcy Gilbert, you know, person from someplace saying this is a good thing for human beings. Yes, she's saying that, but the human beings are saying this would be a good thing for us. So bring it.
Correct. Thank you for saying that. That's exactly what happened. It was Ms. J saying, this is what I basically saying, this is what we need to put our energy and our time towards.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
And then the students, the alumni coming back and saying, yes.
Yeah.
We are compelled to support this.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Yes. 100%.
Yeah. That's important.
And it's, I mean, really, I mean, Ms. J and I talk about this all the time. Both of us had this experience, but especially her. New Roads blew our minds. Neither one of us ever could conceptualize, how could we? We'd never experienced that a school could actually be something that is, oh my God, reflective of the community, bring, you know, just completely connected to the community, and just this Renaissance explosion of whole childness, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Just it was revolutionary. It was absolutely revolutionary. And the fact that New Roads allowed Ms. J to really cultivate what she knew would work.
Right.
That's also revolutionary.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lovely place to for you to ask me questions or whatever, but chances are we might end right there.
David, so, you've always been somebody who just, I mean, you changed my life.
Well, good.
I can't believe the full circleness of
this. As long as your life is good, I'm glad I changed it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, let me just say thank you very much for inviting me to share this space with you.
Oh, thank you for being willing to spend time and talk about it. I think what you're doing is wonderful. You know, I think I love that I love what I just said. I love that what I just said is true, which is the call was from the community and not something that was put there from outside, you know, because it seemed like a good idea.
You're listening to Curiosity Invited with David Bryant here on LA Talk Radio.